We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
Hey everyone, what's going on? What a week it has been. Thanks for joining us here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Glad to have you along. What a whirlwind it has been. To try to keep up on the ever-changing landscape over the last 72 hours, college football. It's a crazy time, we certainly know that, and it just keeps getting crazier by the day. We're dropping this podcast a little bit later because we were hoping to have a little bit of news for you as to how the West Virginia 2020 football schedule is going to unfold, but so many twists and turns and things tied to other things that to even get into the semantics of this and break it all down and start splitting the hairs, I think if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably already well-researched and well-read on the number of variables, whether it's Notre Dame joining at least for this year, the ACC, how the ACC has configured things, what that has done essentially to the Florida State game. We knew weeks ago that the Big Ten, they were only going to play conference games as well. So what did that do to the Maryland game? Etc., etc. Oh, by the way, the SEC, for what it's worth, even though WVU was not at all tied to anything SEC-related in their 2020 schedule, there are always going to be dominoes falling. Oh, by the way, BYU, they're out there. They've lost a number of games as well. There's been speculation that they could be joining the Big 12, at least much like Notre Dame did on a temporary basis. To go down that road, down that rabbit hole, I'm not sure how productive that would be. So I'm to deal with what we know. And I think the most productive way to handle the podcast today is to talk about West Virginia, what they do when they play a football game, whether that's against just conference foes, or maybe we are able to work out something with some G5 schools to get a more robust non-conference slate, which I think at the end of the day is the intent of the Big 12. But who knows at this juncture? So what I want to do is I want to talk about the West Virginia defense. It was announced earlier last week that WVU was going to have a separation with coordinator Vic Koning. The speculation was that Jordan Leslie would be in some way, shape, or form involved as a defensive coordinator. Well, you come to find out that WVU is going to have co-defensive coordinators, with Jamal Adai being in the mix as well. He'll take care of the back end of the defense. Jordan Leslie is going to take care of the front of the defense. And Jeff Castile, of course, we know him so very well. His contributions to Mountaineer Nation have been insurmountable with all of the BCS rings that he has on his fingers, and a great mastermind of adjustments. We know Jeff Castile to be. So I'm going to bring in my broadcast partner, Jed Drenning, from the Go Martin Mountaineer Tailgate Shows. Of course, the college football savant here on MSN is really going to put things into perspective of how he anticipates things working out defensively for WVU. Well, nobody really knows, and I think it's imperative that Neil Brown plays what his plan is going to be pretty close to the vest, because there's really no need at this juncture to say, hey, this coach is going to do this, and this is how we are going to line up schematically, and this is who we want to be. I don't see a lot changing with the West Virginia defense, and from a continuity standpoint, to have something far from ideal happen to your coaching staff as what we had over the last month and a half, this is obviously the best course of action. It's the smartest course of action. It's the best for the student athletes. And I think at day's end, it gives West Virginia the best chance to win. And there are many, many capable minds inside that defensive meeting room. So that's what I want to get into. Jed is so good at drilling deeper, peeling back the layers of the onion, and giving you a look behind the curtain. He has some really good insights. So he's going to join me coming up next here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast.
User.
Addict.
Disease.
This.
They chose to do drugs.
Heard her daughter can't stay clean.
Those people are dangerous.
If they can't stop using, it's their own fault.
Recognize that? It's the sound of stigma. And it keeps West Virginians with opioid use disorder from seeking treatment, celebrating recovery, and living a normal life. Visit stigmafreewv.org to see how words can make a world of difference for all of us.
Thanks for joining us here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Dan Zangrilli in the air chair. We had to send a tin can and string all the way out to Tucker County to connect with the signal caller.
All right, Jed, you're hunkered down in Tucker County. We were able to dust you off here this summer and break it all down for us as it pertains to the WVU defense. As I mentioned in the first segment, the changes were announced a few days ago, that Jordan Leslie is going to oversee the front of the defense. Jamal Adai is going to handle the back. We bring Jeff Castile onto the field. Obviously, it was a much ballyhooed homecoming to have Castile back in the program. Dante Wright's going to go and coach the safeties. Jeff Coons, the inside linebackers, he'll oversee the special teams unit. So I guess the questions that everybody has right now is, considering the timing and what's going on in the midst of a pandemic, a lot of this at the end of the day is unideal, and I think that that's putting it lightly. However, to be able to take the set of circumstances in late July and apply them in the manner in which Neil Brown did, this is obviously and clearly the best way to go about it. Explain exactly why that's the case.
Well, if your resilience is going to be tested as a staff, you start with the fact that you want to have some talent and knowledge in that room, right? And on the defensive side of the building, we certainly have that. You just went through the list of names. When you look at the roster on the defensive side of the football that will be coaching this team, Jeff's a great addition. He's going to be a great addition to any room, right? But he's one of three guys that have coordinator experience on some level. His is just far more well-established, right? You mentioned Jordan Leslie. He's been a coordinator at the junior college level. Dante Wright, he's been a coordinator at the FCS level. So we've had some guys with experience, not just game planning, but actually calling plays between the snaps, calling fronts, making decisions on the fly. Jeff Coons is a guy who understands the Big 12. He's been through the Big 12. He had some time at Texas. He had some time at Iowa State. So there's going to be some influence from him. You talked about Coach Adai. What's neat there is the history he has with Coach Castile. So those are two guys on staff who understand and appreciate and know each other well because of that history. When I look at last year, for instance, when I would be in the locker room at halftime, when these adjustments are being made. Adjustments, first of all, are being made not just at halftime, but between series and between snaps, right? But the time that was spent with the defensive side of the football team at halftime a year ago, you would see a couple guys in front of the entire defense. First of all, everybody on that staff was contributing, but the two guys that were out in front of the whole defense on the grease board discussing these adjustments and walking the defense through these adjustments was Vic, but it was also Jordan Leslie. Jordan Leslie played a very prominent role in those adjustments. So I think it will be a relatively seamless transition to expect him to play a prominent role moving forward this year. Now, are we going to see instrumental changes schematically? I don't know the answer to that. I think that answer is to be determined. I do think that when you look at the guys populating that room, they draw from a vast array of experience. We have even front guys, odd front guys. Most of them have done both. There's some creative minds in there. But when Jeff was hired, okay, what I liked about Jeff Castillo as an addition to the staff, even as an analyst, was the fact that he has an incredible eye for tendencies. So I already liked the fact that he was going to be involved in the preparation aspect of things. But now, moving forward, he'll be involved in game day adjustments. So I like that even more in terms of his involvement. But there's a lot of talent in the room. How that's going to play out, how it's going to mesh, we will see, but I'm optimistic.
You know, Jed, that's a great point, that considering that Neil Brown's preference is to be multiple on the defensive side of the ball, I would say that, and as you sort of in so many words just articulated, his staff is multiple as well. So if you want to be multiple on the field, you have to be multiple in the coaching rooms Monday through Wednesday.
Well, you absolutely do. And if you look across the landscape of the game, not just at the college level, but the NFL level, right? So much of the game today is played in a sub-package. I mean, the days of base defenses being base 4-3, base 3-4, that's kind of gone the way of the dinosaur, right? There are very few NFL teams that are even doing that. As a matter of fact, one NFL team a year ago, I think it was the Titans, spent about 80% of their snaps in sub-packages. That's the modern game because you're facing so many of these multiple spread offenses, right? So you want guys that draw from this wide array of experience from a scheme standpoint. You're going to have to run some even. You're going to have to run some odd. You're going to have to be versatile. You're going to have to be dynamic and kind of reinvent some things week to week based on who you're playing. And when you look at the names that we've kind of talked about in that room, that the composition of that defensive staff, I think those guys collectively, I'm excited about what they can do. When you put them into a room, you start saying, hey, tear apart some tape, look at some tendencies, what are you guys seeing, how do you attack it, and what do you think best fits our personnel? I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and you know, that's an important thing to establish, because I think when you see Jeff Castile come from the analyst position, you get onto the field, folks are going to say, hey, we're going back to an odd front, and a lot of folks have, for whatever reason, for years, really bemoaned that, but you really hit the nail on the head as to the way that the game is trending and how teams have to be multiple. All right, so as we sort of package it all up together, it sounds like, hey, this is going to work, and again, the set of circumstances given to you over the last month and a half, this is likely the best outcome and the most productive outcome, considering what you're going to have to work through. So let's get to game day. Let's get to the weeks leading up to. Can a defense or any side of the football, can it properly function without that one singular voice, or even on game day, that one play caller saying, hey, this has to funnel through this guy from an organizational standpoint? I would assume that that's going to be the case, but we don't know who that guy, at least at this juncture, is going to be, at least not yet, publicly.
No, not yet. And the truth of the matter is, I think this can work more so than anything because there's not an ego in that room that will prevent it from working, right? I mean, that's the type of landmine that you're trying to sidestep sometimes on certain staffs. Certain egos can get in the way. Somebody wants credit, but, you know, it's often been said it's amazing what you can accomplish when nobody cares who gets credit, right? And I think that's kind of the mindset and the personality, not just of the defensive staff, the staff at large, but when you're looking at these guys, there's going to be a common goal, and that is to win football games. and they're not going to care who gets credit for putting the plan together. They're not going to care who gets credit for making the call on third and six and getting the stop or forcing the turnover. All they want to do is win football games. And I think there's a lot of talented minds. They're going to bring a lot of insight. And when those guys come together, I think that's one of the reasons it will mesh, because I think there's appropriate personalities to make this happen and make this work. And look, there's kind of an advantage cloaked in this too, right? I mean, when you're replacing your defensive coordinator in the 11th hour, as we are, and you're, you know, about to start a football season, well, those teams that you're playing on the front end of that schedule really don't know what to expect or anticipate, whereas they can more clearly look at last year's game tape and say, well, that coordinator's back, that staff's back, here's what's going to happen. There's some guesswork on their part too, and why not use that to your advantage?
So, Jed, one thing that you did touch on a little earlier, and I think it was the first question that I asked you, is what you observed in the locker room at halftime. I want you to expand upon it a little bit more and what jumped out at you by Jordan Leslie. Having said everything that we said, it feels as if Leslie is the leader, right? That might not necessarily be the case. He might not be that singular soul voice that we're talking about. But as it pertains to fingerprints on everything, there were more of his in the 2019 defense than maybe folks led to believe. Yes, as you said, Vic did go ahead and lead everything. But some of these halftime adjustments, you mentioned Jordan Leslie was right up front with Vic. Take me a little deeper into that. Go a step further as to what you were able to witness, what you were able to learn and see Jordan Leslie do.
Well, from a contribution standpoint, again, when you're looking at, first of all, at halftime, you're discussing a couple things. One of the things you're discussing, okay, here's what we've seen, here's what they've attacked us with, okay? And the second thing you're going to discuss is, here's what we haven't seen yet, but what we can anticipate. And the best way I can articulate it is to say that Coach Leslie and Vic were on even footing in terms of guiding that defense and saying, okay, here's what we've seen, and here's what we can expect, and here's how we're going to adjust to it. It wasn't this one-sided or unilateral approach to things where Vic, as the defensive coordinator, was kind of just meeting out orders and everybody was nodding. That wasn't the case at all. Jordan Leslie was incredibly active in these conversations, and Vic was interested in the contributions that he was bringing. So both of them were on the board, okay? Side by side, you had the defensive line with the secondary, okay, with those safeties, and the conversations would overlap. So, because these things are interlinked, right? But I'm not going to suggest that Jordan Leslie is the guy making the calls, but what I'm going to suggest is, if it lands that way, I'm comfortable with that, okay? Because one of the other parts of the conversation, there's three new names in that room since last offseason. Jeff Koontz, Jeff Castile, and Dante Wright. Those are three guys who weren't in there a year ago when I was watching these things play out, right? Now, how that impacts or affects the dynamic, I don't know yet, okay? But I do know, going back to what we talked about earlier, those are three guys that are well-established. I'm comfortable with what they bring to the table, and I'm excited about the possibilities of mixing all these personalities and throwing all this knowledge into a bucket and stirring it and see what comes out. I'm excited to see what comes of this.
User.
Addict.
Disease. They chose to do drugs.
Heard her daughter can't stay clean.
Those people are dangerous.
If they can't stop using, it's their own fault.
Recognize that? It's the sound of stigma. And it keeps West Virginians with opioid use disorder from seeking treatment, celebrating recovery, and living a normal life. Visit stigmafreewv.org to see how words can make a world of difference for all of us.
As always, it's good stuff from my broadcast partner, Jed Drenning. Can't wait to be doing it on a regular basis with you here in the next handful of weeks with the Wolfman joining us. We'll give you 3.5 hours of the most comprehensive pregame coverage that you can get anywhere on the radio or on a digital medium that you may or may not be listening to this podcast on. Of course, we stream online. Some of you are doing it that way as well. So hopefully we're just weeks away. We will wait with bated breath, and who knows? By the time this podcast is dropped, news may have changed. We might have a schedule by now. So by the time you listen to it, again, I hope this content and why I wanted to attack things this way is it would be the most relevant for you because it's really important from the West Virginia lens to get a look in and break down how this WVU defense is going to work out with the many changes here a mere weeks before the season begins. And folks, certainly this week has been a trying week as well, as much as it has been unique and different. I urge you all to log on to WVUsports.com and read the absolutely terrific article from John Antotic. The lead goes like this. The mother of West Virginia University women's sports has died. Kitty Blakemore, Miss Kitty, as she was known to thousands of students during her 36-year tenure at West Virginia University, died this week in her native Manassas, Virginia. Kitty Blakemore was the first ever coach at West Virginia University women's basketball, and we've had an opportunity to have Miss Kitty, Coach Kitty, back to the university on a number of occasions. Just a few years ago, she was able to return for Alumni Day at WVU women's basketball. However, and I urge everybody that is under the age of 25 to read the article, to really understand, appreciate, and garner what was done by Blakemore to enhance not only women's athletics, but women's rights at the end of the day at West Virginia University. Little did I know that she had a significant hand in the hiring of Nikki Izzo Brown. Until I read John's article. Of course, he's a terrific historian. Without John, where will we be in remembering some of the large contributions that have been made by Mountaineers to get us to where we are today? He's able to chronicle how she was able to negotiate and how really fierce she was under that gentle exterior that she had. Was certainly a fierce and passionate woman as it pertained to advancing all of the opportunities that now exist today that, quite frankly, that we take for granted. Kitty Blakemore was 91 years old and left behind 10 lifetimes of accomplishments here at WVU. We need to celebrate this life. We need to appreciate all of the contributions that were made for us. Kitty Blakemore, gone at the age of 91 years old. So, if you like the podcast today, if you could, please leave a comment. As always, we love questions. If you'd like to go ahead, send us something, you could do so. Send us a tweet at WVUMSN. If you'd like to email us, we're more than happy to do that. We can kick around some of the questions. And if you have any podcast ideas for us, what do you want to hear more of? Always looking for feedback. Our email address, WVUMSN@gmail.com. Pretty simple, right? West Virginia University Mountaineer Sports Network. It's WVUMSN@gmail.com. Until next time, everybody, stay safe and hang in there. I know it's a wild ride that we're all on, but hopefully, after it's all said and done, when that will be, who knows, but we'll look back, maybe smile a little bit, and in the interim, we always say, Hail West Virginia! Let's go Mountaineers! This is MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider, here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUsports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.